it's here and now. And as we just heard, the World Cup kicks off in Brazil in less than a month. But construction is also underway for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. And a new documentary by ESPN shows many of the migrant workers doing that construction work are being subjected to egregious human rights abuses. Jeremy Schapp traveled to Qatar to report the documentary for ESPN. He's with us now from WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. Jeremy, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with a clip, a really stunning clip from your documentary. This is Sharon Burrow, the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, describing what is going on as she sees it in Qatar.
Qatar is a slave state in the 21st century. You sign a contract. You're really optimistic. You can send money home for your family. You arrive in Qatar. The contract is more often than not torn up in front of you, and they pay you what they choose to.
A slave state. Is that what you found as you were reporting this?
Yeah, I think that is an accurate way of describing the situation in Qatar. If not slavery, then certainly indentured servitude. We're talking about more than a million migrant workers, the vast majority of them from South Asia, who have to take out loans to get there, to get jobs there, hoping they can send remittances home to their families. And when they get there, they often find that they're not going to get paid what they were promised they were going to be paid. Their passports are taken away from them. They have no rights per se in the country, no human rights whatsoever. They're basically treated like subhumans. And if they want to leave, they can only do so if they obtain an exit visa that's been approved by their employer. That sounds like slavery to me.
And they're living in absolute squalor, as you show in your documentary.
Oh, the conditions are horrid. And what's stunning here, I mean, I've reported stories from a lot of places where there are terrible conditions, where people live in squalor in South Asia, in Africa, in Latin America. But what's different here in Qatar is the contrast, because this is the richest country in the world if you measure it by GDP per person. This is a country in which the per capita income is $106,000 a year.
Yeah.
And Doha, the capital, is this Las Vegas-like growing city perched on the Persian Gulf. And 20 miles away in the outskirts of the city, you have these workers who are living a Dickensian existence.
Well, and as we said, many have died. You tell the stories of a couple of Nepali men who died working in Qatar to get ready for the World Cup. How many migrant workers have died there, and where are they coming from?
Well, the vast majority of them are coming from India, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, some a little bit farther east in the Philippines. It's been estimated by Sharon Burrow, whom we heard from, that 4,000 will die before the World Cup in 2022 kicks off. That's 8 years from now. In the last 5 years, the Nepalese say that 700 of their nationals have died in the country. The Indians say that 500 have died in just the last year and a half. The Qataris themselves, after our story came out in a report they commissioned, they say that almost 1,000 migrant workers died in 2012 and 2013.
And they're dying because of the heat, the conditions that they're living in, the conditions that they're working in. What is it?
It's a multitude of factors. It's the conditions in which they are working. Qatar is one of the hottest places in the world. They're living in unsanitary environments. They're living with a lot of mental and emotional and physical stress. Many are dying officially from cardiac arrest, young, otherwise healthy men. The official cause of death is cardiac arrest.
Well, and yeah, these, as you say, they're young men. And the Qataris are saying, oh, it's natural causes. But it sure doesn't look like somebody who is young and fit and working each day would have a heart attack, or at least so many of them would.
Well, not only that, they're saying we also have a lot who are killing themselves. They're committing suicide. So you can't really blame us for that. Of course, what does that tell you if these young men who have been motivated enough to move all the way to another culture in another country to take care of their families find the situation so hopeless that they commit suicide? And it's a system in which I think I have to emphasize again, they have no recourse to the legal system. They basically are living in an apartheid state as well, not just a slave state. They typically work 6 days a week. Usually Friday is the day off. Friday so happens is Family Day in Doha. And on Family Day, single men are banned from going to any of the nicest places in the city, from going to the waterfront promenades or the parks, because they don't want the migrant workers. They don't want to see them. They don't want them in the same places with the 280,000 Qatari citizens. You got 2.1 million people in Qatar. 1.4 million are foreign laborers. They make up 94% of the labor force.
Now, many human rights activists, including Sharon Burrow, want FIFA to intervene, want the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, to get involved. Let's listen to Sharon Burrow.
We say to Sepp Blatter, you can do one thing for people in the world to make it a better place. Put the conditions of rights, of an end to the kafala system, on the table as a price for the World Cup. The Qataris will take it. If they don't take it, they don't deserve to have the World Cup.
But last November, this is what the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter, had to say about moving the World Cup.
There is not one single doubt that the World Cup 2022 will be organized in Qatar. Decision taken by the Executive Committee on the 2nd of December 2010 and not reversible.
What kind of reaction have you had from FIFA after your story is aired?
Well, they wouldn't talk to us when we were putting the story together. We tried for 4 months to sit down with Sepp Blatter and interview him. He wouldn't do that. A few days after our story aired, he did say in Switzerland that it had been a mistake. First time he's admitted that it was a mistake to give the World Cup to Qatar back in 2010. Hmm. But he suggested that it wasn't because of the human rights issues, which so many people are now talking about, but instead because of the weather conditions. You know, in the summer, it's 110, 115 degrees during the daytime. They were going to air condition essentially the whole city of Doha. Now they think that that's probably not feasible. They might have to move the World Cup tournament itself to a different time of year. That's problematic for all of the professional leagues in Europe, especially.
Well, and can anything be done between now and 2022 if indeed the World Cup is going to stay in Qatar? Can anything be done to improve the conditions for these workers?
If the Qataris want to change things, they can change them, and they can change them very quickly. Last week, a couple of days after our report came out, the Qataris announced changes to the kafala system, which is the system that binds the workers to their employers. But universally, the changes they announced were called by human rights groups inadequate, insufficient, purely cosmetic. The hope, of course, is that pressure will be brought to bear by human rights organizations, by the media, maybe even by FIFA, which is not typically its style, to change things. And at some point, perhaps the pressure is irresistible.
That's Jeremy Schapp, who reported the documentary on the preparations for the Qatar World Cup 2022 for ESPN. Jeremy, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.